From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
I'm Audie Cornish, and today we return to the NPR Cities Project.
If other cities can do it, we can do it.
This whole building is based on technology.
This is an old city, but we are on the latest technologies.
Our current series is all about urban innovation, and today, an older technology that created a problem for city police departments, the technology of 911. You may remember our conversation with Chicago's police superintendent Gary McCarthy back in February. He mentioned how often Chicago police officers respond to 911 calls, about 70% of the time.
That's way above the national average. So as a result of that, our officers are responding to 911 calls instead of having patrol time to do those things that we know that reduce crime.
That's right. Police departments get so many calls, 911 can be as much a burden as a boon to law enforcement. Robert went to Miami to learn about a case of too much information.
We are riding along, responding to a 911 call through early evening rush hour in central Miami.
It's 4224. You can go ahead and on 7936 show you in the call.
We pull into a Walgreens parking lot where a slim young woman who works at a nearby hospital is still in scrubs and she is distraught.
Okay, I think it's the young lady that's standing over there on the phone.
Down at the end of the lot, you mean?
Yes.
The people we met who had called 911 had no expectation there'd be microphones involved, so we're not naming them.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm not good.
This woman says she stopped off at the drugstore on her drive home, spent no more than 15 or 20 minutes shopping, and came back to her car to find the source of her distress. Someone had bashed in the driver's side window of her Toyota Corolla and grabbed some valuable belongings from the front seat.
A personal iPad mini.
Okay, what's the value?
$400.
$400, okay.
No, and I also had my Social Security card in there.
Okay.
What's unusual about this scene is who is doing the responding. Sherelle Miller is not a police officer. She is a City of Miami Public Service Aide, a PSA. PSAs are unarmed. They drive marked cars that have no sirens. They are uniformed, but in light blue shirts, not police dark blue. They get sent on calls that are not emergencies.
Accidents or something that does not have an offender on the scene.
PSA Miller is part of one solution to a problem facing many big city police departments.
Some have called it the tyranny of 911.
Chuck Wexler runs the Police Executive Research Forum, a Washington think tank. 911 promises a prompt response to an emergency call. Wexler says research showed early on that rapid response didn't make for more arrests or for more citizen satisfaction.
But what was happening was, you know, there was a tremendous push to get people to call 911, and the system really, you know, overloaded.
To deal with the overload of 911, some cities have adopted 311 as a non-emergency, easy-to-remember number for the police and other public services. Other cities, Milwaukee for one, use what they call differential response. On some calls you dispatch an officer, on others you take a report by phone. And then there's the system Miami uses. For non-emergencies, send public service aides, many of whom go on to become police officers, the city's police chief for one.
My name is Chief Manuel Orosa, but you can call me Manny.
At police headquarters, Chief Orosa told me his force has about 1,100 police officers and 50 PSAs.
The PSAs do an extraordinary job, and they really don't get all the glory they should be getting because they really hump calls.
Riding with the PSAs is like watching only outtakes from the TV show Cops. No danger, no guns, no arrests. We're talking fender benders, auto thefts, and filling out lots of reports. Of course, a fender bender can turn from a civil exchange of insurance information to a dangerous encounter requiring a cop's presence. So deciding which calls require a police officer is important. And as Chief Orosa says, that process has changed a lot.
When I came on the police department, we had cards. You would call, the person would answer the phone, and that call taker would write the information on a card and put it with a clothes hanger on a string and then push the string over to the console where the dispatcher was sitting, and she would read the card and enter the information.
So that was high-tech police work.
High-tech back then.
Times have changed.
Okay, I'll go ahead and send somebody out, okay? Are you blocking any traffic, sir?
This is the 5,000-square-foot communication center for the Miami Police Department beyond a barrier. The fire department has its dispatch center. In the center of this space are the call takers who are taking in thousands of calls every day and putting a set list of questions to the callers who've called 911. They're the interface with the public. They enter it into the computer. From the computer, it goes to the dispatchers. The dispatchers send police officers or public service aides to the scene. Each dispatcher could be responsible for 50 police officers and their whereabouts on a given day.
It starts to really, really build up at around 3:30, 4 o'clock, when people start going home and you have wrecks and you have, you know, problems.
Amy Diaz runs this unit. According to the department's annual report, they got about 750,000 calls last year.
Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, from the afternoon on, it's really, really busy. I mean, like, really, really busy.
The volume of calls to 911 here and all over the country isn't just a measure of gross national mayhem. It's also a measure of how we use phones.
25 years ago, when I started, cell phones were pretty much a luxury, so very few people had cell phones. So whereas to an accident, perhaps we may get one call or two 25 years ago, now to one accident, we may end up getting 10, 11, 12 calls.
Everybody's walking or riding past and calling up
absolutely
on the cell phone.
Absolutely.
Crash here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the calls that come into 911 are about a crime that wasn't just committed, but it was just discovered.
So where are we headed now?
To 27 Mike. It's somebody broke in someone's car.
Public service aide Tatiana Harris works the Flagami and Little Havana neighborhoods. In Flagami, a 59-year-old Cuban-born resident came home from work and saw that his wife's Nissan was broken into.
Hello. You call the police?
No English.
Clearly, the driver's side window has been bashed in. It's a big piece of glass is sitting right next to the Nissan. And inside, the ignition has been destroyed and taken out. Somebody was obviously trying to jumpstart the car and steal it. And alas, my Spanish isn't good enough to figure out exactly when or how this happened, nor is PSA Harris's.
This is a common issue both for public service aides and City of Miami police officers. If you can't speak Spanish on a lot of calls, you can't conduct an interview. So PSA Harris calls in a bilingual police officer.
No se llevaron nada.
No, nada.
Nada más que le rompió la ventana y el
ahí me abrí una sombrilla y no se la llevaron.
Y un menudo que hay ahí no.
Miami has so many Spanish and Creole speakers. Language is a very serious issue. I saw another PSA call in another bilingual officer to an auto collision. One driver spoke only Spanish, and the PSA couldn't give him a fair hearing.
Pero es northwest, southwest. Okay, un momento, señor.
Back at the call center, Amy Diaz's six call takers who are on duty are all female, some are bilingual, all have access to an instant interpreting service. Here's what's on the horizon for the Miami 911 call center. When they do their next upgrade, possibly within the next 2 years, they will join those call centers that receive texts. And the step after that?
Eventually, not now, but eventually, pictures to add to individual cases, et cetera, et cetera.
So people would be able to text into the police, and if they're seeing something, send a picture with the text message.
That's the road that we're headed into, and it's awesome.
Awesome as in a huge assist to law enforcement, or awesome as in that many more terabytes of data pouring into 911 call centers in need of still more triage and review? Chuck Wexler of the Police Executive Research Forum foresees social media posing a challenge to police.
You're going to get people who want to text information in and people who want to use emails to send information in or Facebook to send information or Twitter to send information. I mean, we have so much information coming from so many different directions. You worry about losing something really important.
There are potential flaws in all the schemes to neutralize the tyranny of 911. For many of us, it's such a memorable number, we still call it when we want the police, even if there is a 311 number to call instead. Skeptics of taking phone reports in a differential response system say, By phone, you won't flush out the significant number of reported auto thefts that are really insurance scams, and that a burglary victim, however removed from danger, feels a sense of violation that deserves a visit from a cop. But with city budgets tight, some combination of these schemes and the public service aid system are likely to figure in the plans of a major police department somewhere near you.
And tune in Monday for Morning Edition. You can hear a conversation exploring the status of 911 text messages in cities around the country.